All right, we'll say good morning. Let's begin. Today's daf is daf tes vav. We are picking up from Yudalud Amud Beis Boi Reb Yirmiyah, which is 2, 4, 6, 8 lines up the bottom. We'll say today we actually have a very, very beautiful daf with interesting. Well, you'll see a lot of different discussions, and you're going to see this is a very special treat. Very special treat waiting for you today. I'm sorry? A special Hanukkah gift in today's daf, which is going to be absolutely mind-blowingly astounding. So we'll say, but before that, let's begin. Ben Babel Sha'ala Li'arati Sob. So we'll say, Shir this morning is dedicated by Malka and Sammy Esterson in memory of their parents, Ludwig Stiefel, Yitzchok Leib, and Aaron Akoin, and Hinda Esterson, Hinda Basanech Ephraim, who helped in the merit of our time with Torah, the Neshama, Slav, and Aliyah, and the families in the Chama. So, by Rabbi Yirmiyah, Ben Bavel Sha'ala V'Yeretz Yisrael, V'ne'elam Mimeno Makom Mikdash. So, also, this is an interesting case. We started this line of questioning yesterday, which is, under normal circumstances, when we speak about helam, when we speak about a lapse of awareness, so lapse of awareness has manifested itself in one of two ways. Either A, a person forgot that they're tameh, or B, a person forgot that the place they're entering into is the Beis HaMikdash, or that the food that they are consuming is in fact consecrated food. This is another case. This is a case where a person realized, I am tameh, and I also know that what? That one is not permitted to go into the Beis HaMikdash in a state of Tumah. In this case over here, I'm a Ben Bavel. I live in the diaspora. I live outside of Eretz Yisrael. And I go to Eretz Yisrael. V'ne'ela mimenu makom mikdash. And again, I don't know the spot of the Beis HaMikdash. I don't know the spot of the Beis HaMikdash. So mahu, what's the halacha? In other words, is this considered to be a lapse of awareness for which one would be chayv in olav yoreit or not? So we'll say, see, as opposed to the previous case where I didn't know that it is prohibited to go into the Beis HaMikdash in a state of Tumah, here I know I'm not allowed to go into the Beis HaMikdash in a state of Tumah. I just didn't realize that what? I didn't know that, I don't know where the Beis HaMikdash is. There are many beautiful buildings in Yerushalayim. I mean, this obviously is an extreme case. Many beautiful buildings in Yerushalayim, I thought it was the Bell's Beis Medrash. You know, I didn't realize that it was, that it was the Beis HaMikdash. So what's the halacha? Mahu? So aliba deman. I'll tell you. I was meeting with the architect who's working on the shul building, and he was trying to show him different images, just of like granted. So actually, he pulled some images for me, and one of the images was the Bell's Beis Medrash in Yerushalayim, which is a magnificent building. So he pulled it out. He said, Rabbi, he said, I know you're looking for some classic looks. So I pulled up some images of the Second Temple. That's literally what he said, Second Temple. I had to explain to him. I said, this is not the Second Temple, right? It's beautiful, and it's certainly modeled after the Second Temple. But just, I said, can you imagine? There is no greater architectural compliment than to have your building mistaken as the Second Temple. That's never happened to me here. I just want to be clear. It never happened in this building. So anyway, the Gemara says the following. The third temple, maybe. So Gemara says the following. Mahu. So we'll say, what's the halacha? Aliba deman. So we'll say, in accordance with whose opinion are we asking this? Aliba de Rabbi Akiva, de Bayidia betchila l'mechayv al halo mikdash. So we'll say, if it's Rabbi Akiva is of the opinion that one requires yidia betchila, one requires awareness in the beginning. And in this case, over here again, and ultimately Rabbi Kiva is not mechayiv on Ha'ala Mikdash. In general, again, that's not one of his lapses for which one would be chayiv. Ilev Rabbi Shmuel, the mechayiv on Ha'ala Mikdash, and if it's according to Rabbi Shmuel who says that Ha'ala Mikdash is in fact a proper Ha'alam for which one would be chayiv a carbon olav yoreit, halo bayidia betchila. He does not require awareness at the outset. To which the Gemara says, Lotzricha alibu de Rabbi, de bayidia betchila, or mechayev al ha'ala mikdash. See, right, the question only comes up according to Rebbe, because Rebbe on one hand requires yidia b'tchila, requires awareness at the beginning, but also ultimately, again, it makes you chayev al ha'ala mikdash. Goes in and says that one is chayev for a lapse in what we'll call beis hamikdash awareness. And what's the shayla? V'amar, yidias beis rabo shma yadia. Rebbe is also of the opinion of Rabbi Osai, that those things which we learn about as when we are children, one is considered to, in fact, have a proper awareness of that item. Rabbo said, this is EDS based, Rabbo. This is what we said yesterday. There's certain things that are considered to be normative knowledge. Normative knowledge that we assume that someone picked up in their young or formative education. That creates enough of an awareness within the individual. That creates enough of an awareness. So therefore, you can't claim to be Halam. So therefore, Rabbo said, the idea that there's a Beis HaMikdash and the positioning, the location of the Beis HaMikdash, that's considered to be Yediyas Beis Rabbo, and therefore Allah Chalamayso, this person is considered to have had awareness. So what's the Shaila? Mai. Kevan Diyada Di'ika Mikdash Ba'olam Yediyahi. So do we say, since this guy, this Ben Babel, knows that there's a Beis HaMikdash, he knows that there's a Beis HaMikdash, therefore what? This is called Yediya. He forgot a detail. What's the detail he forgot? About the location of the Beis HaMikdash. But he knows there's a Beis HaMikdash. Therefore, again, this is a case of Yediya, and therefore it should be Chayiv. O Dilma, Keva Demekoma Lo Yadale Ha'alamahi. Or on the flip side, sorry, and therefore it wouldn't be Chayiv. O Dilma, the other possibility is, since he does not know the position of the Beis HaMikdash, therefore, again, it's considered to be Ha'alama. It's considered to be ultimately, again, a case of a lapse of awareness. What's the halacha? So we'll say, so the Gemara is asking, look at Rashi for just a moment. Yediyahi, lemehavi yediyah betchila. So do we say that since he knows there's a Beis HaMikdash, that's considered to be that he possesses awareness, in which case it's a case of yediyah betchila, in which case, again, one could be chayva carbon olavio, right? O Dilma, look at the next Rashi. Kevan de makoma lo noda lo me olam. Or maybe since he does not know the position of the Beis HaMikdash, therefore it's considered to be Ein lo yediyah betchila. There is no yediyah in the beginning, therefore what? He's not chayv a karbon. To which the Gemara says, Teku. Eliyahu HaNavi will have to be mitaret this question for us. He will have to answer this question for us. Good. Gemara goes weiter. Echad hanichnas la'azara. So remember, again, Abosai, the Mishnah said that if one enters into the Azara, of course, is the courtyard of the Beis HaMikdash, and one enters into a state of Tumah, one will be Chayiv. One enters in while in a state of Tumah, one will be Chayiv. However, the Gemara says that if you remember again, that this is only true if it's the extended parts of the Azara for which there was official consecration. But if one did not have official consecration, then those parts of the Azara, then one would not be chayev for entering into those areas. So the Gemara says, Deba'inun kolhani letosef as Azara. Remember again, after that, what did the Mishnah talk about? The Mishnah spoke about the process through which one consecrates the Azara. If I want to expand the Azara, if I want to expand the courtyard of the Beis HaMikdash, what's the process one must employ in order to make that happen? So remember, we're going to both say, that's where the Gemara has this whole discussion about the Beis Din and the Todas and the Shir and all these different kinds of things. So says the Gemara, from where do I know that I require all of these things to add on to the Azara? So says the Gemara, Hamanav Simi Barchia, Do Amar Kra, Kichol Asher Ani Mare Oscha, Eis Tavnis HaMishkan, Ve'eis Tavnis Kol Kelav. The Pasuk says, the Chosh Baruch Hu says to Moshe Rabbeinu, everything I'm showing you, Eis Tavnis HaMishkan, the building of the Mishkan, Ve'eis Tavnis Kol Kelav, and how to build all of the utensils, V'chein Tasu Ledoros. And this is top of Tesvav, Rabbeinu say. And this is what you will do for future generations. This is what you will do for future generations. So we'll say, so what the Gemara is picking up on over here is the following. That phrase, V'chein Tasu Ledoros, what you do for future generations, that is an extra. That is an extra unnecessary phrase. What the Gemara is using it for is what? The Gemara is using it to teach me that whatever was involved in the consecration of the Mishkan, both the structure and the utensils will be the same process for consecration for our purposes, for utensils of the Beis HaMikdash going forward, for consecration of the Beis HaMikdash going forward. Whether it's consecration of the utensils or whether it's consecration of the space. The same way that the space was consecrated with Karbanos, with the king, with the Navi, king and Navi was Moshe Rabbeinu, with the Sanhedrin, so too again the consecration of additional space in the Azaros will have to go ahead and follow this same process. Incredible. Rashi says, we'll be our top Rashi, v'chein sasu, kro yiseiru lemedrish ledoros. This extra phrase is to teach us for future generations, ubimei Moshe duhu melech v'navi v'echav kohen gadol, Gadol, V'urim, V'tumim, V'shem, V'zakenim. So we'll say the same way in the consecration of the Mishkan and its utensils. You had the king, you had the prophet, you had Karbanos, you had the Sanhedrin. So too in the future to consecrate, if you want to enlarge the Azor, the courtyard of the Beis HaMikdash, you must follow the same process. Good. Massive Rava. Rava comes and raises the kasha. Kolakilim shasa Moshe Mashiachasa Mikdash shasan. So when Moshe Rabbeinu made the Mishkan, so what inaugurated the utensils into service? Mashiachasan. It was the anointing with oil. Once Moshe anointed them with oil, ultimately again they became usable as service utensils. Mikan ve'ilich. But after the Mishkan and forward, avodasa mechan chasan. It is not Mashiach. It is not anointing it with oil which anoints it, but which consecrates it. Rather, It's usage. Once you use the kli, by definition, it becomes consecrated for service. Va'amai. But why is that? V'neima v'chein tasu l'doros. So I don't understand. Why don't we apply the same concept before? Tasu l'doros, which means what? That whatever was done in the Mishkan is going to be done ultimately again for future generations. So just like in the Mishkan, it was the anointing of the utensil which made it ready for service, which inaugurated it for service. So to say in the Beis HaMikdash, it's not just enough to use the utensil, but rather what? You have to anoint it with oil to ready it for use. To which the Gemara says, Shani Hasam, Damakrak, as the Pasuk says, Vayim Shechem Vaykadesh Osam. The Pasuk says, Moshe Rabbeinu anointed them with oil, and he consecrated or sanctified them. Osam b'mashicha, v'lolodoros b'mashicha. The Pasuk says, what we learned from that is, it was only those utensils of Moshe Rabbeinu, i.e. of the Mishkan, that were consecrated with oil, but for future generations, they do not need consecration with oil. Simple service inaugurates them, simple service goes ahead and consecrates them. Ema, why don't you say, Osam b'mashicha l'doros o'b'mashicha o'b'avoda? Why don't you say the utensils of Moshe Rabbeinu were inaugurated or were consecrated ultimately with anointing of oil, but for future generations there's a choice. Either you can use it and consecrate it, or you can anoint it with oil and consecrate it for use. Amar Papa Amakra, Asher Yishar Subam Bakodesh. The Pasuk says that you will serve them or you will utilize them with consecration or in holiness. Talan HaKosav B'Sheiris. The Torah clearly identifies that the utensils become holy through service itself. Hashta the Kosav Rahman HaShei Sharsu. If that's the case, that the Torah says HaShei Sharsu, which teaches me that what? The utensils only become kadosh when they are used. Osam lamali. Why do I need the phrase? Why do I need the word osam? Right? Because let's remember again, osam was vayim shechem vaykadesh osam. It was only those utensils who were consecrated through anointing oil, but not future utensils. So if I already have asher yisharsu, then why do I need osam? To which the Gemara says, ilo kasev rachmana osam, because you had the Torah not written osam. Hava amina hani hu dibemshicha. I might have thought that it was these utensils that are inaugurated for service through anointing, ledoros b'mashichu b'avoda. But for future generations, it requires both anointing of oil, or anointing with oil, and what? And service. Therefore, the hakasav v'chein tasu, because the Pasuk says, so shall you do. Therefore, miyet rachmana osam. Therefore, the Torah comes along, uses a mute and exclusionary phrase, says osam, only these utensils, osam b'mashicha, v'lo ledoros b'mashicha. Ultimately, Yenabose, it is only the original utensils of the Beis HaMikdash, of the Mishkan, which require inauguration with oil, but future utensils only require inauguration with service, not with oil. Yenabose, bottom line, that is how the Rambam paskins, that by the Mishkan, again, we find many different unique aspects of the consecration of the Mishkan. Among them are the utensils. Everything in the Mishkan that was to be ready for use had to be anointed by oil by Moshe, or with oil by Moshe Rabbeinu. That was unique by the Mishkan. Going forward after the Mishkan, any new utensils that were to be used in Beis HaMikdash service were simply consecrated through usage. Once you used it, by definition, it became consecrated. It was no longer enough to simply go ahead and inaugurate it with Shemen HaMishcha. Good. So beautiful. So says the Gemara the following. So remember, again, I'll say the next thing that the Mishnah spoke about was, this is the Mishnah going into great detail regarding enlarging the Azaros. Let's say we want to enlarge the courtyards of the Beis HaMikdash. So how do we do that? So that the Mishnah described the whole process over here. What do you need? You need, again, you need the king, you need the Navi, you need the Kohen Gadol with Urim and Tumim, you need the Sanhedrin of 71 members, you need Shtei Todos, two Toda offerings, and then again we're going to go on. Bashir, you need song, Ben, okay, fine. So now we're going to speak about the Todos in just a moment. Shtei Todos. Tana, Shtei Todos Sha'amru Belachman V'lo B'Vsaran. So as we're going to see, the image over here is as follows. There's essentially a procession that walks around the boundaries of the soon-to-be-enlarged Azara. So if they want to go ahead and they want to enlarge the courtyard of the Beis HaMikdash, so the way that is ultimately done, the truth is, this is right. We're going to see Tosefes HaAzara, Tosefes HaIr. So we're going to see what they would essentially do is, they would demarcate the enlarged boundary. They would walk around the enlarged boundary. And after walking around it with this whole procession, the area would become consecrated. So now the Mishnah says that part of this procession was they would take with them two Todah offerings. So now the Mishnah Gemara says, by the way, when we say two Todah offerings, Rabosai, what does that mean, two Todah offerings? Not the animals offered up as Todahs, but rather what? The loaves of bread. Remember again, Karban Todah was very unique in that it was offered with multiple loaves. Remember again, this is the unique part of Todah. Too many loaves for any one person to consume, and therefore by definition necessitated what? Right, inviting others. We'll say this is the makar for a sudas hoda. This idea that whenever we go ahead and we give thanksgiving to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, by definition, that is never a process that is just me. That is always a process that ultimately brings in others. So now the Gemara is just telling me over here that when we say we walked around the area with the todos, that doesn't mean the animals, but rather again it means the bread, the loaves. V'lo b'vsaran. I mean, how do you mean this? It says, where do I know this from? So Amar Rav Chisda, the Amar Kra, va'amida shtei todos gidolos. So we'll say the Gemara quotes the pasuk from Nehemiah, right? So Nehemiah ultimately again is talking about when he came back to Yerushalayim. Remember, Nehemiah led back the exiles from Babel. When he came back to Yerushalayim, he reconsecrated the city of Yerushalayim. That's what Nehemiah is describing over. We'll say it's actually quite dramatic. He is reconsecrating. We'll say just you're going to see. By the way, I can't hold it in anymore. I just have to tell you this. You're going to see, I will say, multiple allusions to consecrations, rededications, to Chanukas Habayis, to Chanukas Yerushalayim. And I will say, it's dramatically amazing. Shavuos, I heard some back row chatter that people aren't finding Shavuos so intriguing and so riveting. I will say, the fact is, you see the Hashgachas Hashem in everything we do. The fact that we could be in the middle of a Masechta that doesn't really seem to have anything to do with anything. Right? And although it's exceptionally enjoyable. And the Mice again, on first day of Chanukah, we're going to see multiple references to this idea of dedication, rededication, Chanukas Yerushalayim by Nehemiah, and it's going to become even more explicit in just a little bit. It's dramatically amazing. Sometimes in life you get this little, like, embrace from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Just want to let you know, I know sometimes you feel a little bit lost. Sometimes you wonder what you're doing here, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says. I just want you to know, you're following the Derech HaYashar. You're doing exactly what I need you to do. And so there's this little nugget of Hashgacha Pratis. HaKadosh Baruch Hu just says, Happy Chanukah. Like the Lichtige Chanukah, I'm giving you a little present, a little Hisodros, a little something to tie your limut into this beautiful day. Incredible. So Nehemiah is going ahead and rededicating the city of Yerushalayim. So he describes the process. He describes the process for the rededication. So among those things he says, Va'amida shtei todos gidolos. I went ahead and I set up two large todos. So my gidolos. What does it mean when Nehemiah says, I went ahead and I arranged for two large todos? If it means that he brought two large animals, so like cows, so say, I brought two cows. Ela gidolos b'minyan. Rather, it must mean what? It must mean ultimately, again, Rashi says, "Gidolos minyan me'osu min shayu heviu gidolos v'lo kitanos." That from the species that he brought numerous ones. To which the Gemara says, "Mi'ika chashivusa kamishmaya." But excuse me. So gidolos minyan mi'ika chashivusa kamishmaya. I don't understand. Does number make a difference in the eyes of HaKadosh Baruch Hu? I will say, listen to this. Listen to this beautiful Gemara. Vatanya. Yet the pasuk says, "Ne'emar ba'olas behima ishei reach nichoach." Rabbosai, by an ola, by an ola. Remember, ola is an animal that is totally consumed on the mizbeach. So it calls it an isha, a fire offering, reach nichoach, and a beautiful, pleasing aroma to Hakadosh Baruch Hu. Ba'olas ha'of. Rabbosai, in the same time, by ola ha'of, which is a bird offering. A bird offering obviously is very minute. There's not that much on a bird. And what does the pasuk say? Ishei reach nichoach. Says it's a pleasing aroma to Hakadosh Baruch Hu. B'mincha. Rabbosai, mincha, which is not even flesh, you know, it's not meat at all. It's just flour and oil. What does it say? So reach nicho, ishei reach nicho. Rabbosai, so what do you see over here? You see that HaKadosh Baruch Hu calls every single carbon, big or small, reach nicho, a pleasing aroma. Melamed, Rabbosai, listen to this beautiful line. She'echad hamarbe ve'echad hamamit ubilvad she'echavin libo la'aviv shema shamayim. Rabbosai teaches us that ultimately, again, whether you do a lot or whether you do a little, a person should, as long as a person devotes his heart to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Ribbono Shel Olam loves it. Rabbosai, it's such an incredible, incredible yisod. The Ribbono Shel Olam does not go ahead and gauge our efforts by the quantity, but ultimately, again, by the quality. Echad amarbe ve'echad amamit, whether you do a lot, whether you do a little, obviously the goal is to do a lot, but even if you do a little, as long as your kavanas l'shem shaykh, l'sh baruch hu loves it. Ella, so what does it mean when the pasuk says that Nehemiah is offering up todos gidolos? Ella, gidolos shebetoda. Rather, what it means is that he's ultimately offering up, or he's bringing into the consecration of Yerushalayim the largest part of the Toda. What is the largest part of the Toda? Umaynihu chametz. They will say the largest part of the Toda are the leavened loaves. Are the leavened loaves. In other words, as we're going to see in just a moment, there are multiple parts of the carbon Toda. There's the animal offering. There are some unleavened loaves. And there are leavened loaves. The largest part of the carbon are the leavened loaves. So therefore, again, Nehemiah is essentially saying that when we reconsecrated the city of Yerushalayim, I brought the leavened loaves with me, and we walked around the city to reconsecrate it. To which the Gemara says, Disnan, Hatoda Haisaba min Chamesh Sin Yerushalmios. The Toda used to come from five Jerusalem Sin, Shein Sheish Midbarios, there are six. Midbar, which is six desert sin, Shein Shte Ephos, there's equivalent of two Ephos, Va'efa Shlosh Sin, she's giving us all the measurements, the Ephos three sin, Esrin, excuse me, Esrin Isaron, Yesara L'chametz, Va'asara L'matzah. And there are ten Esronos that ultimately again go for chametz, ten for matzah, Ubematzah, Shlosh Shaminin. And I will say, in the non leavened loaves, or the unleavened loaves, I should say, they made three different types of loaves, Chalos, Rekikin, Revucha. Fine, so we'll say, what's the point over here for us? The point over here for us is that out of the entire carbon toda, the leavened part was the most voluminous, was the greatest amount. And therefore, again, when Nehemiah says that I went ahead and I brought the, what was the pasuk? Va'amida shte todos gidolos. I brought with me the two large todos. What he really means is what? I took two of the chametz loaves of the carbon toda and took them and we walked around the city with them in hand, and that was part of the process of consecration. So from here, from this pasuk, the Mishnah learns that part of the consecration, ultimately, again, whether it's for the city of Yerushalayim or for the Azaros, for the courtyard of the Beis HaMikdash, requires shtei todos, requires the taking, ultimately, again, of the two loaves of the toda. Incredible. So says the Gemara, Amrei Bar Chama, Ein ha'azarim is kadeshes ela b'shir mincha. So he says a little bit differently. He says, those two todos, that's ultimately, again, for consecrating the city of Yerushalayim, or reconsecrating the city of Yerushalayim. Let's say, I just want to point out, you know, just there is a discussion about the Kiddush of Harabayis, of Kiddush HaRishona, Kiddush HaShaita, Kiddush HaSidlavo. Is the consecration of the Beis HaMikdash eternal or not? Eternal or not. So we'll say, even if, leaving aside that machlokis, everyone agrees that Kiddushas Eretz Yisrael always remains. So what is Nehemiah doing when he reconsecrates the city? What he's doing is he's reconsecrating the city as a walled city. That's what he's doing. The consecration is there. He's rededicating it ultimately again as a walled city of the city of the Beis HaMikdash. So the Gemara says the following. Amar Rabbi Bar Chama, Ein Azara Miskadeshes, Alo B'Sher Mincha. Rabbi Bar Chama says, the Azara could only be Miskadeshes, or if you want to enlarge the courtyard of the Beis HaMikdash, that process requires Shiyare Mincha. Now, we'll say Shiyare Mincha means the leftover of the Mincha offering of the Kohanim. Now, look at Rashi for just a moment, we'll say. It's in the wide lines in Rashi. In the wide lines of Rashi, five lines down, Shiyare Mincha, Bechalos Shal Shiyare Mincha, Hane'echeles LaKohanim. So we'll say, remember again, so a Mincha offering is a meal offering, offered up by the Kohanim. So remember again, we'll say, we learned this, that when it comes to a Mincha, what's offered on the Mizbeach? Only a Kamitza. So the Kohen does something very interesting, which is he takes three fingers, his three middle fingers, he scoops up whatever flour he can get, shaves off the sides of the flour that extends, puts that on the Mizbeach, the rest of the Mincha is his. The rest of the Mincha is his. So the Torah discusses what he can make it into, different types of loaves, but the rest of the Mincha is his. Comes on Rabbi Chama, and Rabbi Chama says that the Azorah, if you want to enlarge the courtyard of the Beis HaMikdash, that can only be enlarged with Shiyare Mincha. So again, look at Rashi. V'chalosh shal Shiyare Mincha, ha-ne'acheles la-kohanim, v'hai kiddush de-nechemia ve'ezra be-kiddush ha-ir k'siv, aval Azorah shal sif aleh makif and also b'shar Mincha. So Rabbi Chama just comes along and says, by the way, up until now we've been discussing about consecrating areas with what? With toda loaves. Just know, toda loaves are what are used for consecrating what? The city of Yerushalayim. But if you want to go ahead, and when we say consecrate, what we mean is enlarge the areas of the courtyards of the Beis HaMikdash, that requires mincha loaves. Mincha loaves, not toda loaves. So says the Gemara, well, let's analyze this. My time, what's the reason for that? Meaning, why is it that the Azara requires Shiyari Mincha loaves? Ki Yerushalayim. Because what's done to consecrate Yerushalayim is the process essentially that's replicated by the Azara. How so? Ma Yerushalayim davar ha-ne'achal bo mekadsha. Just like Yerushalayim, something that can be consumed in the city is what is used to consecrate it. So in other words, you could eat toda loaves in Yerushalayim. Therefore, you use toda loaves to consecrate the city. Af azara davar ha-ne'echal ba mikadsha. So Rebbe said, the azara, the courtyard of the Beis HaMikdash, only something that could be consumed in it is used to go out and consecrate it. And the mincha loaves are consumed inside the azara. Atu lachmei toda ba'azara milo misachli. I don't say, what does that mean? So you make it sound like, just like toda loaves are in Yerushalayim, and they're used to consecrate, so too again, mincha loaves are used to consecrate the azara, to enlarge the azara. Why? Because you're eating in the azara. But one second, toda loaves are also eaten in the azara. So why can't you use toda loaves as well? Elik Yerushalayim. Ma Yerushalayim davar ha-ne'acha ba v'yotze mimena nifsal. So we'll say, here's the chab. Just like Yerushalayim, what's used to consecrate it? To something A, that can be eaten in Yerushalayim, and B, if removed from Yerushalayim, becomes pasul. So to Av Azara, davar ha-ne'echal ba, vayotze mimena nifsal. So to in enlarging the Azara, you consecrate it with something that can be eaten there, and if it were to be removed from that space, would become pasul. So we'll say, the mincha loaves are something that can be eaten, or that must be eaten inside the azara of the Beis HaMikdash. And what happens if it's removed? If it's removed, it becomes pasul. So we'll say, essentially, what we're saying is, the item used to consecrate the space has to be an item that is tethered to that particular area. If it's in mini, and how do we see if it's tethered or not? So again, if it's removed from that area, what happens? So the carbon toda, the toda loaves, if removed from Yerushalayim, become pasul. Therefore, they are used to consecrate or to dedicate the city. The mincha loaves can be eaten in the azar, and if they are removed from there, then what? They become pasul. Therefore, they are used ultimately to go ahead and consecrate the enlarged azara. Incredible. Incredible. If that's the case, imal lahalan chametz afkan chametz. So why don't we say the following? If we're learning out the sanctification / dedication of the enlarged azara from the dedication of the city of Yerushalayim, why don't we say the following? Just like we said before, that what type of loaves are used to dedicate Yerushalayim? They're toda loaves, but what type of toda loaves? What type? Chametz. So why don't I say that I have to use chametz mincha loaves to dedicate the azara as well? To which the Gemara says, one second, mi'ika, v'tizbara, minchas chametz mi'ika, I don't understand. Is there such a thing as a chametz tikka mincha offering? Take a look at Rashi. Last Rashi on that, before I turn the page. Minchas chametz mi'ika haksiv kala mincha asher takrivu la'ashem lo se'afei chametz. The pasuk says, ultimately, that's what you can't have a carbon mincha as chametz. So there's no chametz. We'll say amud beis. We'll say, you know, by the way, that sound is the sweetest sound. You know what, right? That sound of the turning of the page. You know what that is? That's the sound of growth. That's the sound of aliyah. That's the sound of the journey forward. When you hear that, mamish, if that doesn't give your neshama goosebumps, it also means shavuos is one day closer to being finished. But I'm just saying, but that's, which I know for many is an incredible, although you have to admit, this is, you have to stop making jokes because it's incredible. But mamish, when you hear that sound, just know, you've just made a dramatic step in building your neshama. So tesvalam adveis, v'chitema, the machmitz l'lishirai. So we'll say, so remember, just understand the process over here. What are we talking about? It's an excellent question. What are we talking about? We're talking about dedication, right? Dedication of the city of Yerushalayim and dedication of the enlarged areas of the Azara, of the courtyard of the Beis HaMikdash. And we are discussing the process through which that occurs. So Baruch Hashem, we've established Yerushalayim. Now the truth is Yerushalayim is a little bit easier. Why is it easier? Because we have a pasuk in Nehemiah. It was done. So the pasuk in Nehemiah tells me everything I have to do in order to enlarge the area, in order to dedicate Yerushalayim. So what have we established? You use two loaves from the Toda offering, specifically again the two chametz loaves. Now what we're doing is we're learning out the process for dedicating an enlarged azara, enlarged area of the courtyard of the Beis HaMikdash, from dedication of Yerushalayim. Just like in Yerushalayim, you have to dedicate it with items that are tethered to the city, cannot be consumed outside of the city, lach mei toda. So too, again, in the Azara, you dedicate them with things that could only be eaten there, i.e. lach mei mincha, mincha loaves. If that's the case, says the Gemara, so why don't we say, just like the toda loaves we've established were chametz, so to the mincha loaves were chametz. To which the Gemara says, but we don't have mincha loaves that are chametz. The Torah explicitly says that you don't allow the mincha to become chametz. V'chi teima. The machmitz lo lishirayim umekadish bo. So maybe you say, I'll say like this. You know, at the end of the day, the only time the Torah says that the mincha can't become chametz is when it's in the process of being offered up as a sacrifice. But after that kmitza is offered up, the rest of it belongs to the kohen. What could the kohen do with it? What could he do with it? Whatever he wants. In other words, obviously, whatever he wants within a framework, he can't, he has to eat it in the Beis HaMikdash, but the point is, if he wants to make it into chametz loaves, that is absolutely his prerogative. To which the Gemara says, "Vaksiv, I'm sorry, v'chitema de machmitz lushirai mekadosh bo." Maybe you'll say he lets it become chametz after the kmitza. It's his; he can do whatever he wants with it. Vaksiv lo se'afei chametz chalkam. The pasuk says that he can't. The Torah seems to say that they can't even make their portion chametz. V'amreish Lakish va'afilu chalkam lo se'afei chametz. So yet Reish Lakish says the kohen is not even permitted to make his leftover part of the mincha chametz. So alam alo, why? So why not? Oh, so maybe we could use two of the loaves of the Shavuos offering. Look at Rashi. There is a chametz offering, which is the shtei alechem, the two loaves that are offered up on Shavuos. Let's use that offering to go ahead and consecrate the newly enlarged Azara. Right? We have a chametz offering, so let's use that to be Makadish the Azara, Mishum de la Efshar, because it's impossible. Why? Hechi Navid. So we'll say, how should we do it? Now what we're saying is, maybe there's only one offering that can in fact be used to consecrate the enlarged area of the Azara. What's that offering? That offering ultimately is what we'll say, is the chametz, the Shtei Alechem, the chametz offering on Shavuos. To which the Gemara says, well, what's the case? Hechi Navid. Nivnei me'esmo. So how are we going to do this? If you build the extension, right? Meaning, if you build the addition to the Azara yesterday, then they can't shem me'esmo, and you consecrate it yesterday. We'll say now, yesterday in this context means before Shavuos. The two loaves of Shavuos only become consecrated when you slaughter the sacrifices. When are the sacrifices slaughtered? When? On Shavuos itself. So if you want to say, build it yesterday, and only consecrate the new addition today, you can't do that. Why? You require ultimately what? You require sanctification at the time of the building. let's build the addition to the Azara on Yom Tiv and consecrate it on Yom Tiv. Can't do that. Why? Ein binyan mikdash docha Yom Tiv. Rabbi say, we already know this from where? From where? From the Mishkan, right? Again, the pasuk says, "Go ahead, right by the binyan mikdash." What does the Torah say? Eshab sosai tishmoru. Pasuk explicitly says, "So binyan beis hamikdash does not docha Shabbos or a Yom Tiv." So the Gemara says, "Neshavka lebasar hachi v'nivnei v'nekadshe." So ultimately, again, let's go ahead and just leave over the loaves from Shavuos. We'll build on Matzei Shavuos or after Yom Tiv, and we'll use the loaves then. You can't do that. Why? Because if saleh belina. Because we'll say if you leave the loaves overnight on Matzei Shavuos, the loaves become pasul. Nivniyei mima'ale yoma. So let's build the addition to the Azara on Erev Yom Tiv. V'neshaye be'purta ad di kaddish yoma. And let's leave a little bit up until Shavuos. We'll alter nigmarei v'nekadshe. And ultimately, again, what will we do? So we'll say it's a great chap. Let's build most of it on Erev Shavuos. Leave a little bit to be completed on Matzei Shavuos. The loaves of the Todah are fit for consumption until the midnight on Matzei Shavuos. We'll finish up the building on Matzei Shavuos and use the loaves to consecrate it then. Nope. Ein beis ein binyan beis hamikdash balayla. Rabbi say we do not build the beis hamikdash at night. Because Rabbi said, how do we know we don't build the beis hamikdash at night? Because the pasuk says, and on the day that the Beis HaMikdash was put up, B'yom Makimo, on the day they put up the Beis HaMikdash, Balayla in Makimo. At night, we do not put up the Beis HaMikdash. Therefore, Rabbi say, therefore, what do we say? Lo Efshar. Rabbi say, therefore, again, it's impossible. Now, we'll say, impossible, thank you. So therefore, what? So we'll say, therefore, what means the final? It's actually dramatically amazing. It turns out, therefore, we know that we go ahead and we consecrate the Azara. If we want to enlarge the Azara, and we want to consecrate it, what do we consecrate it with? We consecrate it with the loaves of what we call lachmei mincha, the loaves of the mincha. But Rabosai, it need not be chametz. That's bottom line. So bottom line is, halacha lemaisa, we use any of the loaves of the mincha. It doesn't have to be. It does not have to be ultimately, again, any type of chametz, but rather, again, it could simply go ahead and be matzah. So therefore, again, halacha lemaisa, what comes out is that in dedication of the Seder of Yerushalayim is established through the loaves of the Toldah. Dedication of enlarged Azara is accomplished through the loaves of the Mincha. The loaves of the Toldah have to be chametz. The loaves of the Mincha are not chametz. They're not chametz simply because it's impossible. You can't come up with chametz loaves of Mincha. Therefore, we even use the matzah of the Mincha. Beautiful. Tan Rabbanan. So we'll say, Bishir. The next thing the Mishnah said was, Shir, with song. With song. So you go ahead and you also have to enlarge the Azara area with song. Tan Rabbanan, so says the Gemara, Shir Shel Toda, Bikinoros, Ubinevalim, Ubitzalt Salim. So we'll say the Shir, when we say Shir Tel Toda, so we go ahead, what song do we sing when we enlarge the area of the Beis HaMikdash? Shir Shel Toda. Now we'll say, now what is Shir Shel Toda? So actually what we're going to see is that this refers ultimately again to Mizmor Lisoda. Mizmor Lesoda. So Shir Shel Toda, Bikinoros, Binevalim, Bitzaltzalim, with harps, with cymbals, with drums. We use all different kinds of things to enlarge the Azara. Al Kol Pina Upina, the Al Kol Evan Gidoros Yushalayim, on every single corner, and on the large stone in Yushalayim. I will say, we'll discuss exactly what this means. Va'omer, and I will say, what do we say? Get ready for this. Get ready for this. Aromimcha Hashem Ki Dilisani. Mizmor Shir Chanukas Habayis LeDavid. We'll say right the capital, the extra capital we say today in Chanukah. Mizmor Shir Chanukas Habayis LeDavid, the capital that David HaMelech arranged, dafka to be said when the Beis Hamikdash would be dedicated. The capital itself in Tilum that has the strongest connection to the Yom Tov of Chanukah. So ultimately, again, what pasuk? It's just incredible. So what ultimately, again? So the Gemara is just talking about the process that they would say when going in and consecrating the newly enlarged area. So if you look at Rashi says over here, Tan Rabbanan Shir Shel Toda, Hayu Omrim Sham Bikinoros, Umayu Shir Shel Toda, Mizmor Lesoda. So the first thing they would say was Kapitel Kuf. Chapter 100, Tillim. Then our Mimcha Hashem Kedilusa, that's Mizmor Shir Chanukah Sabayis of David, Kapitol Lamed. And what else? V'shir Shel Pigoyim. And I will say, they would say the Shir Shel Pigoyim. Now what is Shir Shel Pigoyim? Rashi says over here, Yoshev B'Seisir El Yom, U'lefi Sh'omra Moshe B'akamas HaMishkan, Dichsiv V'ayivarech Osam Moshe. So I'll say, this is actually a dramatically beautiful, beautiful Rashi. So they would say Yoshev B'Seisir. So we'll say, Yoshev B'Seisir El Yom, is Kapitel Tzadik Aleph, chapter 91 in Tehillim. Why would they say this particular kapitel? So first of all, let me just finish the two lines of the Gemara. Shir Shal Pigoim, Yesh Omrim Shir Shal Negoim. Some said it was the song of Pigoim. Pigoim also means like harmful forces. Negoim means afflictions. Man Do'amer Negoim Dichsev V'nega Lo Yikrav Ba'ohalecha. So the one who used to call this chapter of Tehillim the chapter of Negoim, because the Pasuk says, V'nega Lo Yikrav Ba'ohalecha. There will be no affliction that will come next to you in your tent. Uman Do'amer Pigoim Dichsev Yipo mitzidcha elef, and the one who says pegoim, because also the pasuk says that on your right side 1,000 will fall. Va'omer yoshev b'seiser elyon b'tzel shakai yislonon, and the pasuk says he who dwells in the shade or in the protective shade of Hakadosh Baruch Hu b'tzel shakai yislonon, he will go ahead. Or I should say differently, he who dwells b'seiser elyon, in the hidden parts of the celestial sphere, Betzel Shakai Yislonon, will go ahead and reside in the shade, protective shade of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Ad ki ato Hashem machsi, Elyon Samta Ma'onecha. So again, so far what we see is, we say Kapitel 100, Mizmor L'Soda, we say Mizmor Shir Chanukah Sabayis L'David, chapter 30, and we say Yoshe B'Seisra Elyon, chapter 31. I just have to share with you one Rashi, even though I'm going to run out of time. Look at the Rashi B'Shir Shal Pegoyim. So Rashi says, why do we say Yoshe B'Seisra Elyon? So Rashi says over here, Yoshe B'Seisra Elyon, U'lefi Shamra Moshe, Ba'akamas Mishkan, Dichsiv, Vayivarech Osam Moshe. Because Kapitel Tzadik Aleph, Yoshe B'Seisra Elyon, was said by Moshe Rabbeinu when the Mishkan was put up. Why? Uma Barachan, because Moshe Rabbeinu gave them a bracha. That bracha later on becomes included in chapter 91 in Tehillim. What ultimately, again, is the bracha? Uma barchan, yiratzon shetishra shchina b'ma'ase yedeichem. Moshe gave them the bracha, yiratzon, it should be your will, that shetishra shchina b'ma'ase yedeichem, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should rest his shchina in that which you construct. Vino ha-mashav al-kinu aleinu, v'ach-isa v'taraskanim, v'hu me'echad, me'echadas ha-mizmor m'sha'ar ha-moshe b'sefer tilim, mitfil la-moshe ad-sof mizmor la-soda. So we'll say, this is one of the 11 kapitlach that Moshe Rabbeinu himself said, and he said this particular kapitel of Yoshe b'seisr el-yom, at the construction of the Mishkan. So we'll say, there's a beautiful Chassam Sofer, and with this I'll have to close. There's a beautiful Chassam Sofer. The Chassam Sofer says, in the Tefillah of Moshe Rabbeinu, there's something very strange. It says, Yiratzon, Shetishra Shechinu Masi Adeichem. Shebir will, that the Shechinu should rest in the handiwork of your handiwork. So the Chassam Sofer makes an interesting observation. Whenever we have the Yiratzon, it's normally, Yiratzon Mofanecha Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Elokei Avos Seinu. Right? It should be your will, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem your God. Here it just says, Yihi Ratzon. Why is there no Yihi Ratzon Milfanecha Hashem Elokeinu? Why don't we have the rest of it? And the Chassam Sofer says something so dramatically beautiful. Moshe Rabbeinu was saying to Klal Yisrael, it's not a question of what the Ratzon of the Ribono Shel Olam is. We don't need a tefillah that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should rest his presence within this structure. That's not a shayla. The only variable is what? It's not if God wants you. The only variable is, do you want God? And therefore Moshe Rabbeinu gives them the bracha, Yehi Ratzon. It should be your will. Shatishra Shechina B'Ma'ase Yadeichem. It should be your will that you should want the Shechina B'Ma'ase Yadeichem. That you should want the Shechina and what you should create. The Shechina that Moshe always wants the relationship. Kadosh Baruch Hu always wants the connection. Kadosh Baruch Hu always wants the closeness. Sometimes we feel far from God, but we don't realize that it's us. It's me who's causing the estrangement. It's not a Kaddish Baruch Hu. That's yours. And the Chassam Sofer says so beautiful. This is not just a bracha that ultimately is for the Mishkan. This is a bracha l'dorei doros. Yiratzon, shetishra shchina b'ma'ase yadeichem. Moshe Rabbeinu says to us, whatever you create in life, the homes you create, the lives you create, the businesses you create, the relationships you create, and everything you create in this world, all of your ma'ase yadeichem, Yiratzon Shetishre Shechina. May it be your will that you want HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that you want to feel His presence, that you want to feel His connection, that you want to feel Him in everything you create in this world. All right, the Moshe, we'll stop over here. We'll pick up over here tomorrow morning.